All of you, we've got a big crowd here. I can tell there's going to be some reunions here. I want to talk about something very simple, but that's a problem. Sometimes the simple, powerful truths, the I already know that truth, slips past us and we don't understand its power, its value, or its impact. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Actually, I'm 61 years old. I've been a Christian for 47 years. This is a very powerful, very practical truth for me. So if it's practical for me, I'm going to guess you might get some good out of it too. We just got done singing about Emmanuel, and that means God is with us. That was my first verse. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Think with me about Matthew 28:20. And behold, Jesus speaking, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And what did Jesus do next? He went up to heaven. What's the deal? Listen to this verse. Jesus, the night before he died, said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. He's trying to prepare his disciples who have depended on him the last 3.5 years. You're going to feel like orphans, but I'm not really leaving you. Or listen to this. Well, how does an orphan feel? Well, alone? There's nobody to protect me. I don't know what to do next. Just all those kinds of feelings. And Jesus is saying, I'm not going to leave you alone. Now look at this. Listen to this mind-boggling truth. John 16:6. But because I've said these things to you, while I'm leaving, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is an advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So, is it really better for Jesus to go and to not be right here on the front bench or right there with you? Yes, it's better. Why? Well, if Jesus is on the front bench, he's not with you. If Jesus is talking with Peter, James, and John, you have to wait. Isn't that true? You have to wait. I just have the nerve to believe that there's something's going to happen in heaven that you won't have to wait your turn to be with Jesus until 2053. There's something about Jesus, here and now and there, that we'll be able to be with him all the time. Hebrews 13:5-6. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So this truth that Jesus is with me helps me to do what? To not get greedy for money, to be content with what I have. In other words, I can focus on what I have and not what I don't have. But if I know that Jesus is with me, I don't have to be afraid. Well, how's that? So how many times do you think God, Jesus, say, I will be with you in the Bible? It's really hard to do an accurate word search, but I think I did with you, and then kind of had to scroll down through them. How many do you think there? How many? You're frustrated. You're tense. You're not sure if you can do this. I'll be with you. How many do you think there are? You're probably better at it than I am. I counted at least 20 times, and I'm going to just tell you about those times. Jacob, when he's escaping from Esau, He's ready to return to Canaan. Each time God says, I'll be with you. And then when he's about to die, he says, God's going to be with you that are staying. When Moses was unwilling to confront Pharaoh, God says, I'll be with you. When Joshua feels inadequate to take Moses' place, God says, I'll be with you. Gideon feels small and inadequate and says, there's no evidence that you're with us, God. Life is awful. God says, I'll be with you. David in the Psalms, God promised Solomon. Jehoshaphat before the battle. This beautiful psalm, words that many of us quote. When you pass through, Isaiah 43, when you pass through the waters, when you go through the fire, I'll be with you. Jeremiah feels inadequate, young and inexperienced, and God says, I'll be with you. Jesus is Emmanuel. He's God in a human body, and he walks here on earth so that we can understand how God is and so that we can believe that Jesus really wants to be with me and we can have that precious truth be ours. Then he talked about the no orphans, that I'll send the Holy Spirit, it's better that I go. And just before he ascends into heaven, he says, I'll be with you. But then think about this one. God told John that in heaven, he will be with his people and will see his face. Isn't that pretty nice? It's not just I can see him way, way off there on the throne, and I'll never know what it's like to have a personal encounter with him. If I can see his face, it's talking about an intimate relationship. So this is a theme throughout the Bible. Is this a promise just for the spiritually elite? I don't think so. Now listen to this question. Is God offering to be with us to get something from us? No. Our God, the God of the Bible, is sovereign and powerful. He doesn't need us at all, but he wants to be with us, to walk with us so that we don't have to be alone. So how many of you believe that Jesus, God, Holy Spirit is with us all the time? I've convinced you. Good. Okay. So how many of us ever feel alone? So what's the deal? I want to tell you the truth. Jesus is with me. The second truth is that it's possible to be in a place to where you can't feel his presence and you can't act on it. And when you can't do that, life doesn't go well. Think about Jacob. He wakes up the morning after and says, what did he say? I didn't know God was here. How was he feeling the night before? I'm running for my life. I don't know if Esau's going to catch up with me and kill me. I messed up in a major way. Why did I do such a stupid thing? My life from being a favored son has changed to I'm running for my life and I'm going, I don't know where, and I don't know anything about my future. And so he says, I can't experience God's presence, and I didn't even know that he was here. God was here, and he took initiative in reaching out to me, but I didn't know it. You would probably never do this, but I have. It's Sunday morning. I need to preach, and the clock is rolling around, and I'm pacing the floor, or I'm out in the car. Come on, let's go, family. And by the time we're ready to leave, I've lost my connection with God, and I'm not ready to preach. But that wouldn't happen to you. Let me just give you I'll read off a list of situations where it's possible that we lose our connection with God. And I want you to, as I read this, I want you to feel what it's like to feel I'm all alone. Someone else is angry with me. I'm angry with them. I feel sad. I feel rejected and abandoned. Others don't include me in the group. I feel like they're marginalized. They're leaving me. Yeah, I'm not a part of the group. I feel unprotected and vulnerable. I'm sick. I'm old. And I'm going to die. I feel like no one loves me. I'm young and I don't know what to do in this situation. I'm exhausted. I'm discouraged. I feel overwhelmed. The situation feels hopeless because I can't do anything to change stuff. That's an awful feeling to feel all alone. And when you feel all alone, you can't be your best self. Your brain doesn't work well. And we act out in ways. I love God and I want to serve him. And today I'm going to preach and I'm going to really help people. But then something happens and I disconnect from God. And when I'm tempted to sin, if I feel all alone, I'm very likely to make wrong choices. Now I want to go back through that list, and I want you just to be aware and to think, you know, regardless what happens, Jesus is with me, and see if it feels any different. Someone's angry with me, but Jesus is with me. I'm angry at someone else, but Jesus is with me. I feel sad. I feel rejected and abandoned, but Jesus is with me. I'm sick. No one loves me. I'm old. I'm going to die. I'm young. I'm in a new situation. I'm exhausted. I'm discouraged. I'm overwhelmed. Life feels hopeless. But Jesus is with me, and we're going to make it. Yes, God knew what he was saying when he said, it's not good for a man to be alone. We often think about that being a man and a woman. But it's just true. When you're all alone, no, you're never all alone. God is with you. But when it feels like you're all alone, it's hard. So what do? My third point is that it's possible for us to reconnect with God quickly. Whenever I'm alone, how is it? Psalm 56:3. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. When you're feeling all alone in the midst of a really difficult situation, what can you do? Jesus, I don't know what's going on, but I feel like life is out of control. I know you're here. Help me to be able to reconnect with you. That can happen in a moment, and you're back to being the real you that's connected with God and that's able to respond right in tough situations. Do you see how practical this is? I'm going to pray and ask that this week, when you are in a difficult situation and you disconnect from God, that you'll remember what we talked about today and you'll just breathe a quick prayer and say, Jesus, I want to connect with you again. And life will change. This is a powerful truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that Jesus came to earth to show us how to live and to show us that he really wants to be with us. He wouldn't have had to come, but he did. He chose to come. And today, through your Holy Spirit, you can be with us. And I pray that today, when we are in tough situations and we tend to disconnect from you, that we can just get by ourselves, reconnect with you, and face life again. May this truth be ours. May this blessing be ours. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.